Welcome to the Coco Nomad Podcast, a show about location-independent entrepreneurship. I'll discuss the techniques, tools, and tips that can help you balance work and travel, and share my experiences and experiments in trying to make both a living and a life. Everyone, this is the Coco Nomad, and if you are new to this channel, I talk about work and travel, specifically traveling internationally, and provide tips, tools, and tricks. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is leaving the U.S. and if you feel guilty. So it started because I had encountered a message in one of the groups that I'm in, the travel groups, and someone posted a question, and the group is about people who are wanting to leave the U.S. And he said, do you feel guilty leaving the U.S.? And it's like, why do I feel guilty about leaving, like not staying in the struggle to change America? And asked if anyone could relate. And I absolutely could. There are lots of people, of course, who don't feel that way. It was like, it's no problem to leave. They just decided they were going to make a change in their life and they would up and go. But I really wanted to dive in and talk about, for those people who struggle, a few of the things that they are struggling with, so that if you are someone who is having a similar struggle, it may possibly help you. So I'm gonna share my story and then, you know, talk about some of these things that are here. So starting with, basically, for me, there were two different sort of connections that I was struggling with. And it really was about abandonment, and one of societal. And one is just a continual struggle for justice in the U.S. for particularly for my community, but other communities as well. And I felt some societal pressure for years and years. I grew up in a household where my grandfather was very, very politically active. He really encouraged us to do everything from be involved with local politics and voter registration and showing up for meetings and holding our representatives accountable and being a part of the solution and being actively a part of that, being actively a part of the community. So me leaving the United States meant that I was leaving all of that. Like, what does that say about me if I'm not participating and people are still struggling to be treated like human beings, to have equal rights and to have the same opportunities? And as that struggle continued, if I'm not there, I really felt like I wouldn't be participating and I was abandoning the fight, as it were. And I have lots of friends that are actively engaged on the ground doing grassroots things across the board, from helping to eliminate food deserts, to health and fitness, to financial, economic, to the political and the legal. And I had to start thinking about how I could still support those people doing that and support my community fighting while not necessarily being there. And one of the things that really helped me was in some of the people that I followed and read as a child and as a teenager and as I was becoming an adult, people who have left the U.S. and maybe they came back and maybe they didn't. One of them being Paul Robeson, being one, and just like seeing that, like going through this struggle and determining that for a certain amount of time that, you know, being physically present in the United States just wasn't the best for them. And then so for me, seeing that and having those examples that for me were really helpful and saying to myself, like, okay, there are still ways that I can participate and contribute and support, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I have to be physically present. So that one wasn't the bigger struggle for me because of the reasons, like moving around, even within the United States, I moved around. So I was familiar and comfortable with not necessarily living in the same neighborhood or same community, although most of the time I end up coming right back to the same community at a later point in my life. But it was always front of mind. The bigger one for me is the second one, and that was the familial. So this is the family, and having really close family ties, which I do, was really, really difficult for me to dig up those roots and relocate myself, especially for such a large distance. And so that feeling is, am I abandoning my family in that case? And I remember before I even considered leaving the U.S. permanently, I talked about taking a job in California, was going to move to California. And I'll never forget having this conversation with my grandfather, the same grandfather. And he says to me, are you leaving me? You're going to be that far from me. And I just felt this guilt, like, oh, wait, you know, I can't leave my grandpa like that, like being that far away. Even though, like, I mean, at that point, I would have been the furthest away. I have my aunt, his youngest daughter lives, you know, about halfway across the country. And I would have been completely on the other side of the U.S. My family's from the East Coast. And that was one of those things that stuck. And more than that, though, I went, and I'll start to share a little bit of my story here in a little more detail. So what happened is, in 2002, I decided to go to Spain for 3 months to study Spanish, and was doing kind of an early version of this whole, like, you know, 4-hour work week, whatever stuff. I was doing reporting work, like I was running software reports for a hospital in Rockdale County, Georgia. And I would just send those over email once a week. I would just run the reports and then send the files back over. And then the rest of the time I was taking Spanish lessons. I was doing all kinds of excursions, going around the region, seeing, you know, wonderful cities like Cordoba and Sevilla and, you know, Ronda and all these cool places, and just like enjoying life in Malaga, Spain. And I enjoyed it. 3 months in, I was like, oh, I don't want to stop doing this, and I'd like to keep going. And there were some challenges there, but I remember talking to my cousin, who's basically my big brother, and he's just like, you won't stay away. You can't stay away from your nephews. And that was true. I just, my third nephew had just been born, and like, I'm really close to them. And so I ended up coming back and buying a house, and trying to settle and make roots. And I realized some things along the way, though, and this is what I wanted to share about these things. You make these choices about staying. So I owned the house for 15 years and I lived in it for 5. I lived in my parents' hometown. That's where the house was. And I never really felt comfortable there. Like, I love the house. I love my family. I love being close to them. I love some of the aspects of even of living in a small town, but so much of it was not working for me. And I was doing something for other people. I was being there for other people. And I think it's important to understand that you have to have a proper balance and not to lose yourself in being supportive and being there for other people. And it took a long time. I mean, that was 2003. And it wasn't until 2015 that I considered leaving again. And that was when I was looking at this travel program that I did called Remote Year. And I said, oh, this will be a cool idea. I can travel around the world for a year and then I'll come back. And the original plan was I'd come back, I'd open up this co-working space and really start to do some things in the community that I had been wanting to do. Well, I started that journey, but before I left, a couple of things happened. Some tragedy struck. I lost a really good friend of mine and then my younger brother. And so I started to see sort of some of my connections and my reasons for staying unraveling. And I actually had my nephews with me. I've lived with my sister and my nephews for a while, and they were staying with me before they left again. And then they left and it was just me again in this big empty house. And so here I am, not having these reasons for staying for so long, and they're getting older and they're getting bigger. And quite frankly, you know, getting to a point where they don't really need me to be there all the time, every day, like they were when they were younger. And so I felt this big emptiness, you know, this feeling like, why am I still here? Why am I still doing this? And so I realized it's like, for me, it was just time to go ahead and take that step, but still thinking I would come back after that year, because I still had those societal community ties, right? Open up the co-working space, wanted to do some training and teaching for the youth in town and work with some local charities and things like that. And so that was where I was still trying to, you know, wrestle with that connection. About 3 or 4 months into the travel program, I started just a lot of feelings going around. A lot of things were changing for me rapidly. And it resulted in me making some really drastic changes, including quitting my job. So to take some time, and I spent the rest of that year, really for the most part, the rest of 2016, trying to figure some things out and what I wanted to do and what I wanted to do going forward with my life, free of some of those things. And very quickly, I realized I didn't want to come back to the U.S. I'd had issues, you know, as far back as, you know, the early 2000s, and I just didn't feel comfortable. I wasn't interested in the rat race and that constant chase for things. And that didn't appeal to me. And a lot of the lifestyle things and societal things just didn't appeal to me at all. And I was just ready for a change. And I remember feeling that like for a long time, even as far back really strongly in 2007, 2008, of course, it's during the mortgage crisis. So definitely I wasn't affected by that financial in any way, but I just felt like, oh, this is just, some things just aren't right here fundamentally. And I was in grad school. So we were talking about a lot of these things when I was in grad school. So I was in MBA program. So we're talking about the number of bankruptcies that are going on in these companies and sort of like the industry and some of the legal things that had happened leading up to it. And it's just like, for me, it was just a simple case of like, I don't know if my value system is aligned with living in this place anymore. And I would just feel like there's room to do different things, of course, in any country and be different. And the United States definitely offers that. But on total, for everything, I just did the math and like just the sum of all these things just felt like, you know, I think maybe I can live better somewhere else. And that year abroad, which is essentially was a gap year, was my first foray into that. So about 7 or 8 months, 6 months in, I remember meeting my uncle in Barcelona. We're hanging out for a couple of days. And I told him, I was like, I don't want to come back. Like, I just don't want to come back anymore. And he understood. And so for the next couple of years, just kind of tried to work through that. But I went back 2 months after that and started selling my stuff. I had a house, I had a couple of cars, I had computers and all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, I don't need this. Like, I'd just been living, you know, for a while out of a duffel bag. And I still am. I mean, here I'm 5 years later, I still live out of a single duffel. I don't have a lot of things. And I'm fine with it. Like, I really do enjoy my life. And I just realized that I was connected with something different, that I just wanted something different for me, a different lifestyle, a more freedom, not just in movement, but a feeling of freedom as I moved through the world was different. I just found that lots of small things in my interactions with people around the world were just different than it were for me in the United States. And it's not the same for everybody. And this is why I wanted to talk about this, because there were a lot of people commenting, and I see this happen a lot in these groups. Someone says, oh, well, I'm not feeling that way, and I don't experience that, as if that means that other people don't, when they're clearly talking about the thing that they're experiencing. It would be like me. I'm a very fit person going to a weight loss center, walking in the door, lifting my shirt, showing my abs, and go like, what's the problem? I'm not having any issues. It's like, yeah, don't be a dick. Like, other people are struggling with this stuff, and understanding what other people are going through and helping them. If you haven't been through it, and you don't understand it, then maybe that's not a conversation for you. You know, maybe it's time for you to just kind of like, hey, you said your piece, move along. People who are trying to solve this problem, to get through these feelings, to make these decisions, those are the people that you need to be in dialogue with. So I wanted to share as someone who has gone through that and share for anybody who is struggling with that. And if you would like to talk, I'm going to drop a link. I do. I just started doing these discovery calls. And they're free. And I did one the other day and it was 15 minutes, but I realized it needed to be 30 minutes because I really need a little more time to talk to anybody, to have a conversation. It's like meeting for coffee. You're not going to have a 15-minute coffee chat. It's like you need at least 30 minutes. So I'm going to drop a link if you would like to talk about that. I have a schedule in Calendly. So, I mean, I do work and have things to do, but I do have a calendar of my availability and would love to chat. If you'd like to talk about this or anything related to remote work or living abroad, making that move, I am more than happy to talk. It's completely free. I'm not going to pitch anything. I don't even have anything to offer other than an ear and, you know, maybe some help in the right direction. Now, if you are someone, I do talk about remote work and I do have something to offer there. So if you're like interested in strategy for like improving your productivity and things like that, then absolutely, that's completely different. I'll drop a link to the strategy call there. But if you're just looking for, it's just some kind of, you know, just an ear and something about like maybe getting started on this move abroad, and you want someone who actually, one, has been doing it for a long time. I've been doing this now for 5.5 years. I'm about 38 countries in, I think. And I do tend to travel slower now. So I've gone through that whole, like, you know, early, like hitting all the spots and then finding places you like. So I like talking about those things. So I can definitely help you if you are interested. So make an appointment through the Calendly and we can chat. I hope this helped though. So if that's helped you, please hit the like button. It helps other people and find the videos. And I've been really tasked by other people I've been talking to in the different communities to do this more. And I wanted to talk about more than just what I'm doing, but just talk about the things that affect other people. So I think that's the most important thing at this point. So thank you for watching. I hope this helped. If you want to talk, again, the link will be below. And I hope you have an amazing day. And I'll talk to you soon. Cheers. So all you can do is help.